We're going to begin a new study. The Lord placed this on my heart some time ago. It's the Perfect Heart Kings, and that will be the emphasis of the subject here, is the Perfect Heart Kings. And when we speak of the perfect heart, these are hearts that, in that word perfect, the Old Testament, it means they're full. These were hearts that were complete. And these were hearts that were in agreement, and by the grace of God and because of the love of the Word of God, there was a covenant that was kept. And I thank the Lord for this. And as we go through, we're specifically going to focus on, there were three perfect-hearted kings: David, Hezekiah, and Josiah. All right? And we're going to focus mainly on Hezekiah and Josiah. And as we go into this, I pray that it'll quicken our hearts deeply, that this is the encouragement to us about first love. That's what this is all about. The perfect heart is a heart that is full of first love. It's a heart, praise God, in that word first, it means foremost in importance. I thank the Lord again by His grace and His mercy. We're here tonight at a Bible study. I think that could be good evidence that it is first and foremost in importance in our life. And I thank God for that. I believe again that He's the one that can do it. And as we journey through this study, brothers and sisters, it's going to become clear that there is great depth in the types and in the characteristics and in the testimony specifically of these two overcoming kings. And as the word of the Lord was brought to me, and as the Spirit brought these things to my heart, we're going to see specifically how Hezekiah so represents in so many of the things that we will see as we study through this, the full overcomers in the Old Testament. And then we'll see how Josiah and so many of the encouragements about his life are the full overcomers in the New Testament. So we'll see this wonderful collection of saints and this wonderful encouragement only that the grace of God can do. Now, as we begin here, I'd like to speak about what determined if a king would be perfect in heart. And I think most here probably know this. There was one benchmark that was given. There was one perfect heart that was set up for all of the other kings to be measured by. And that was King David. Isn't that something? That little shepherd boy. That one that God had prepared and called and said, "This is the man after my own heart." Isn't that beautiful? Now, you have to think of this. He is the father of all of the other kings, except for King Saul. David is referred to as their father, David. Every single king as they go down the line on that. But let's start by reading about this benchmark. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 11, and let's begin reading from verse 4. It's kind of a sad way this is introduced, because this actually is speaking of his son Solomon. But it refers to why Solomon, he missed it. And it's referring to why he missed it. It was the benchmark of his daddy, David. And actually, let's just go ahead and read from verse 1. "But King Solomon, he loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, the women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, 'Ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods.' Solomon clave unto these in love." I want to stop there for just a second. The Word of God says that they will surely turn away your heart. Brothers and sisters, when we bond ourselves with things, and especially in love with ones that truly do not have that perfect heart, and we go after that, we're in great jeopardy. We're in great jeopardy. Do we really truly love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and might? I encourage ones always as they begin, even before they begin to get fond of others, before you give your heart away to someone else, make sure you have given your heart away to Jesus. And then in that person that will be attracted to you, and God willing, you'll be attracted to, will also give their heart away to Jesus. And so I am encouraged as we read this. What this is speaking of is anything that can come between you and the Lord. This is speaking of idols, brothers and sisters. All of these pagan groups and these ones that had the religion, whether it was the Canaanites or the Hittites or the Jebusites or the Moabites or who all these were, they had strange gods. And they lifted up idols unto them, as we're going to see throughout this study. And what those idols represent is anything that comes before your Lord. And I would just even get you to think, remember how sweet the Lord had tarried with and had communed with Solomon. What the Lord had given him, promised to him, as he would go after the same heart as his father David. You think about how the Lord not only made him the wisest king, he made him the wealthiest king. He gave him a kingdom that wouldn't have any fighting during his time. All of the things that the Lord showed him so specifically and exactly what he did, all the things that Solomon saw. But yet, for the grace of God, we could be right there. Solomon comes to the end of his life, and what does he say? O vanity of vanities, O empty of empties. He saw that he had everything, but he lost the one thing and the only thing that mattered. He lost the perfect heart with the Lord. And what a grieving that we have. Now, as it says here in verse 3, it says he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart, because the word of the Lord said they would. Surely they would. This wasn't a doubt. This was an absolute assurance. The word of God is true. You think, and I might think, oh, I'm a little different. I'm strong enough. We're not. The word of God is true, brothers and sisters. And I pray that we would always adhere in fellowship with brethren of like precious faith. We're already pulled out enough. And I'll assure you, we don't want to be pulled out any more than we have to be. So it says, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. I mean, that's just unbelievable. It's remarkable in a way because of how close this brother was with the Lord. All again of the things that God had done for him, with him, together to encourage him. And yet his heart turned after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of his David his father. That's the benchmark. It always goes back to the benchmark of David. For Solomon went after Ashereth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord as David his father. Says it twice. What do you think the Lord's after? He wants all of you. He doesn't want parts and pieces and a little bit of time. He wants your heart. He's not talking about acts. He's not talking about works. He's talking about love, your passion, truly your first love. And he comes at him two times. It's because you left your first love. You allow these things to get in between. And look what Solomon eventually does. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Don't ever think, or ever allow the enemy to get you to think that somehow your faith, your strength, your devotion is greater than the word of God. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Brothers and sisters, that first love is one thing. It's first love. As Brother Paul said, there is no other gospel. There just isn't. And if I preached it, as Brother Paul said, let me be accursed. So I thank God. It's very simple, but it is one thing. It is pressing for the mark, for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. So we see this precious encouragement here, even though it's wrapped up in something so sad. The mark is the perfect heart of his father David. And we can go back and we can look at David's life, and David's life was not all that perfect. David, matter of fact, did some very horrific things. And then sadly, even after most think about with Uriah and Bathsheba, it was numbering the people. Even old Joab said, I don't want to have any part of this. You get out there and you number them. And he went out to number them, and then after he started numbering them, he stopped even. And he knew that the Lord was not pleased. And he knew that there would be a consequence in that. And there was a great consequence, as the Lord came back and had David to choose of those three things, and not to drift any here. But I want you to understand that even though David was in his life making things where he didn't make the right decision, even in parts of his life where he was unfaithful, God abided faithful. He knew the heart of David. David would make wrong decisions, but David would not leave that place with God. And we thank the Lord for that. Now let's even read about David's heart in 1 Samuel 13:14. Go over to 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. And this is when the Lord is speaking with Samuel, and he's telling him there's going to be another king. It's not Saul. And in verse 14 it says, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. He called him a man after his own heart. And I thank God there was a love and a devotion, and I believe it's the same love and devotion that he's given to you, because he's given you this gospel. He's given you this wonderful message of the bride of Christ. That first love gospel, brothers and sisters. And we thank the Lord together that this truly speaks to us. But here was Solomon, and here was his heart. And I want you to think about this. He even knew about this perfect heart. He even prayed for Israel about this perfect heart. Go to 1 Kings chapter 8. So I don't want you to think somehow that Solomon was unaware of a perfect heart. And I don't want you to think that Solomon, at a time in his life, he did have a perfect heart with the Lord. And this is how sweet this brother was and what God had done through his life. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 54, here's the prayer that Solomon prays. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Isn't that beautiful? And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto the people of Israel according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us. Let him not forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him. See, Solomon knew that it had to be the Lord that would incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people, Israel, at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. Think of what came through that brother. Think of what he knew. Think of what he again prayed for over his people. And yet, again, when we leave the first love, when we begin to compromise, brothers and sisters, it's something that can take us right out. But for the grace of God, you think of these things that he said. He knew that the Lord had to hold us in it. He knew that the Lord had to keep us in that way. And yet, that heart that he had to ask the Lord and pray for the Lord to keep him in it and to encourage him in it, it left him. Don't ever let that leave you. You won't always make the right decision. You will not always be faithful, but you can always call out to the Lord. Lord, incline my heart. Lord, turn me. Lord, bring me into that fellowship. He's given that to you, honeys. And that's the benchmark. The perfect heart is the heart that's in love with him, that knows that the Lord in his love will never leave you, that it's for you. And if he be for you, who could be against you? And if he's the God that abides faithful even when I believe not, I'll tell you what, that's the God I'll call out to every single time. Praise his name. So the grace of God, the grace of God, the grace of God. Now, there were 42 kings that reigned over Israel during this about 500 years that these were kings that were over Israel. And by the way, there was one queen as well too. Her name was Athaliah, 2 Chronicles 2:12. And she reigned with these 42 over Israel and Judah in the Old Testament times. Now, there were four kings of those 42 that reigned over a united kingdom. That meant all of the tribes. The very first one was Saul. His son Isboheth was the second one. He reigned for a couple years before David reigned. And then Solomon was the last one to reign over the united kingdom, if you will, when all of the tribes were over. Then the kingdom split. There was the tribe of Judah, and then there was the kingdom of Israel. And those were all of the other kings that were over those two different groups. Now, the kings are all recorded in the books of Kings and Chronicles. And of those 42 kings, I mentioned the three that had perfect heart toward the Lord, which was David, Hezekiah, and Josiah. There were only four others beside them that really did even any good thing in the sight of the Lord. And those four kings were Asa, Jehoshaphat, Uzziah, and Jotham. Now, of those 42, I think this is something to note. There were only three of those 42, David, Asa, and Uzziah, who had sons that followed the Lord after them. Can you imagine that? That those other 39 kings, and even two that had perfect hearts toward the Lord, their children did not go after the things of God. It's important for us, brothers and sisters. It's imperative. Give your household the truth. Stand in that word. And I commend you, saints. I'm so grateful to God. We have many generations of different ones in this meeting. I see their young ones. I see their children. I see their grandchildren. I see their great-grandchildren. Again, the faithfulness, the blood over the household. Trust in it. But continue to plant that good seed in your home, and you'll watch the Lord be faithful. He said, train them up in the way that they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. And we thank the Lord for this, and we praise God. Now, there's another way to look at that as well, too. Of two of these kings that are the full overcomer kings, And I mean the ones that I'm speaking of here is Hezekiah and Josiah. Did you know that they had wicked dads? They had very ungodly dads. But they still came after God full-hearted. Isn't that something? So it shows you there's no excuse. The Lord, let me tell you something, he's for you. And it doesn't matter where you're from, how it was, what happened to somebody in the past, where your parents were from, how godly they were or ungodly. Let me tell you something. You've got your opportunity right now to win God's best. And that's it. And that's what it's predicated upon. And I thank the Lord that he's given us this unction that we go after him. So, let's talk about these four that were good, but yet didn't attain to the place of Hezekiah and Josiah. And let's read tonight why they did not attain to that. Let's talk about the first one, which is Asa. 1 Kings chapter 15. Let's go on over there. Now again, this is one of the four kings. It says that they were good kings, but they were kings that did not have that same perfect heart as Hezekiah and Josiah. And we're going to see the reason these four missed the mark. They went very far. They were wonderful in many things, but they didn't attain to that mark of that full overcomer or that high calling mark of Hezekiah and Josiah. So in 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 9, let's read about the first one, Asa. All right. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Ibish-Halom. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. So he's tracking wonderfully, isn't he? He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord as his father David. How beautiful. What an encouragement they'd say that about you. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land. And he removed all the idols that his fathers had made. And also Maacah, his mother, even her he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. He wasn't just loyal to his natural bloodline. He was sincerely after the things of God. And Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it by the brook Kidron. I kind of like that. But here's what you don't like. But the high places were not removed. Now listen. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. There was a perfect heart that he had, but that perfect heart was not the perfect heart as his father David. And the reason was that one thing, the high places were not removed. I want you to remember that because you're going to hear this theme a little bit as we talk about the next one, which is Jehoshaphat. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 22. This is the second of the good kings of the 42. And in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 41, going over to there. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, began to reign over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 30 and 5 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 20 and 5 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai. And he walked in all the ways of Asa, his father. Isn't that beautiful? And he turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. You don't want to hear a but, and you don't want to hear a nevertheless. And here you go. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered and burnt incense yet in the high places. All right? Now let's go over to the third one. Uzziah. And we find this king in 2 Kings chapter 15. That's 2 Kings, all right? So going over to 2 Kings chapter 15. And he's known also as Azariah, or Uzziah is another reference to this same king. In 2 Kings chapter 15, let's read 1 through 4. In the 20th and 7th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. 16 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. You notice all three of these kings did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, right? All right? But we talked about just because we do something right in the sight of the Lord doesn't mean we always have a perfect heart before the Lord. The heart is what the Lord is after. Now, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done, save that the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burnt incense still on the high places. So there's your third one, again, of the high places. Let's go to the fourth and last king, Jotham. 2 Kings 15, just turn the page, verse 32. That's 2 Kings 15, 32. In the second year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, began Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. Howbeit, the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burned incense still in the high places. What were those words we saw? But, however, howbeit, I have many things, all these things that were so good to talk about you. This is to the church of Ephesus. But I have one thing against you. You've left your first love. The first love in the high places. It really is the meaning of the same thing, brothers and sisters. And I'm going to tell you why. The high place is the benchmark. The high place truly is the benchmark of the first love. The high place is a life where all the idols of life are removed. And I was thinking, you think about all the idols that can be in our lives. I think maybe the last and the hardest one to get rid of is yourself. It's the truth. And I'm talking about your ego, your pride, your esteem. God help all of us, amen. But before Solomon's temple was ever built, before the temple was built, and that was the temple on the mount, the high place was where they would worship God. That's where they would go out and worship God. It was the most intimate place. It was the most set apart place unto God. And we understand what the word worship means. It means drawing nigh in fervent love as to kiss. So this was that most intimate place in a sense that the people would go to worship the Lord as they would have that opportunity to do it before they had the temple. And upon those high places, they were set aside for the worship of the one true God. Those high places were protected. But when the pagans came in, when those other peoples came in, they polluted those high places and they built altars to false gods upon them. And that's what they did. And they were polluted with all of the evil of the pagans. And David and only Hezekiah and Josiah were the only ones perfect in heart that will remove these high places that we're going to talk about in just a minute. What this is speaking of, brothers and sisters, is there isn't anything between. It's all and it's all. And I thank God for that, because even Hezekiah, as we'll look about his life, and even Josiah, these weren't perfect men, but they had perfect hearts toward the Lord. They were fully purposed about his truth. And they were fully purposed not only for the truth for their life, but for their brethren. They wanted that assembling. They wanted that fellowship. And they wanted it purely for everyone. And when they would get together, there was only one kind of fellowship to have, and that was even the fellowship of the high place. Just like we have, it's the fellowship of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, there was a heart of these three kings, David, Hezekiah, and Josiah, that there was nothing else. This was it. It didn't matter what people thought of me. It didn't matter look at David. It didn't matter if I embarrassed my wife. Amen? That was true. As we'll talk about with some of these other kings, it didn't matter that my dad didn't worship the Lord. It didn't matter that my dad was against me going after the things of God. This is everything. This is my life. Who's my family? Who's my people? Who's my mother? Who's my brother? It's the one that has the like precious faith with me. And this was the beauty that they have in that fellowship that God gave them together. And this is where this encouragement takes us. Hezekiah and Josiah, they removed those high places. And this is our full overcoming encouragement as we'll close up tonight. Go on over to 2 Kings chapter 18. And let's talk about here Hezekiah. Now again, we're going to see that this Hezekiah, as we study through this, the beauty of the representation of this precious king of the full overcomers in the Old Testament. But let's read what his response was when the Lord called him to be king. And that's 2 Kings 18, 1 through 7. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, and she was the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, did. And what does he do in verse 4? He removed the high places, and he brake the images, cut down the groves, break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it and called it Nahushathan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him, listen to this, after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. Why? For he clave to the Lord. He departed not from following him, but he kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. There's no but in this. There's no however about this man's life. He went fully purposed after even those high places. He went in there to get him. And I thank God for the strength and that encouragement. Now, move on over to Josiah. We're going to even go to a, this is ramping up. You're going to love reading about this brother's love for the high places of God. Turn on over to 2 Kings chapter 22. And let's read, first of all, let's go ahead and read verse 22 about this precious 22, actually, let's begin reading from verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Isn't that something? Just a little guy. Huh. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. So many things in that. We'll touch on these names. We'll go back to it again. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Isn't that beautiful? All the ways. And he didn't turn to the right, and he didn't turn to the left. You know, brothers and sisters, when you got a pattern like the life of a David, why do you try to change that? When you saw what God would do in that man's life, I'm going to mark him. Amen. When you see the faith in the Apostle Paul, I'm going to mark him. Amen. We follow Paul as he followed Christ. These hearts followed that truly wanted the best. They followed David as he followed Christ. It gives me chills. The Lord is the same yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't have us guessing which way he wants us to go. He doesn't, saints. And you know that. It's very clear and it's apparent. But he has to give you the eyes of understanding, doesn't he? Because you'll talk to others and it's almost like a deer in the headlight. Maybe somebody just like, oh, it's too much or over my head. It's really not. You just ask God for faith. He'll give it to you. He wants you to have that. And it's all there for you. But I love that, as he said, he didn't turn to the left. He didn't turn to the right. So let's go ahead and read on about the heart of this precious little king as it speaks of the high places and what he was encouraged to do. Go on over to chapter 23, verse 5. All right, here we go. And he put down the adulterous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense. Isn't that something? Unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. Okay, he's just getting started. Verse 8. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense, from Geba to Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. We're just getting ramped up, saints. Verse 13. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the mount of the corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had builded for Asherah, the abomination of the Zidonians and of Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites and Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. Look at that. That was Solomon, the king of Israel, that builded that Asherah, the abomination, and the Zidonians. The Lord's still bringing that out about the heart of Solomon. And here, one of the great grandkids. No, Grandpa. No. It's going down. It didn't matter that it was of a heritage. It was about the things of God. This is beautiful. What a testimony. The allegiance was to the word of his grace. The allegiance was to the full purpose of what the Lord wanted. Not what my family had built. Not what any of these things are. But the word of his grace. Still not done. Still not done. And he break down the pieces of the images, and that's verse 14, cut down the groves, filled their places with, oh, we got to go back. I'm sorry, let's read from 13 again, because this is good. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the mount of corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had builded for Asherah, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile, and he break in pieces the images, cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place, which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made both the altar and the high place, he break down and burned the high place, stamped it small to powder, and burned the grove. Do you think he was pretty incensed about this is not even going to exist anymore? I just love the passion. Josiah has a lot of passion. We're going to hit a lot of passion with this precious brother. And I know you know a lot about his life. Now, verse 19, we're still not done. And all the houses also of the high places. Notice how it keeps going to the high places, the high places, high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger. Josiah took away and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. Now here's the best one, verse 20. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars and burned men's bones upon them and returned to Jerusalem. Amen. Fiery! You ever read about David, what he did to some? He stretched them. He put them on the rocks. He was a bloody man when it came to the things of God. Amen. This is the state of the heart of the bride. She's a lover and she's a fighter. She's a warrior for him. She fights. And I thank the Lord, praise God for that passion. She rules and reigns with him now. She's the one, as it says in the Song of Solomon, honey, my bridegroom, let's arise up early. Let's go on our honeymoon. Oh, it's ripe. Let's get that and let's reap the harvest. Come on. That's exactly what this heart is. This is exactly what this is speaking of now. As we close this up, do you see the heart of the Apostle Paul, especially in these things in the high places? I mentioned it earlier. He's the one that said, there is no other gospel. There just isn't. There's just one thing. There's just one mark. There's only one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind, and I press. I'm going forward. That's all forgotten. I'm so full of love, praise the Lord, that don't have time. I don't have room. My attention's on this. And as I go after that, everything that's against me, everything that tries to pull at me, it's ground to powder. Amen. Let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost love is dynamite. Mountain be removed. Those things that the Lord wants me to lay aside, I don't see anything anymore to lay aside. Praise God. There ain't no more weights. We're flying. And I thank God he's pulling us like that. As Brother Paul said, if I preach anything else, let me be accursed. Christ is the head. There's only one high place, and that's him. The true worshiper that worships him in spirit and in truth. Praise God. I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I think about her heart has gone so high in the mountains with those hinds feet. Turn on over to 2 Samuel. Look what old David said in his prayer. It's beautiful. The pattern, the repeating of it. You want to go to those high places? You want to have that kind of fellowship with him? 2 Samuel 22:34. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. See, those high places are for me and my Lord. They ain't for any idols. There are no idols up there. I just got him. It's just the cherubim and the glory of the Lord. That's all that remains in that place, doesn't it? Think about this. John had to be taken to the third heaven. I'm talking about Revelation. He had to be taken to the third heaven. Then he had to be taken to a high mountain in the third heaven. And then from there, that third heaven in the high mountain, he has to look up. That's how high this place was. And what comes down from that high place that John had to be taken to the third heaven, had to be taken to the mountain in the third heaven, and then had to look up from that mountain from the third heaven? I hope you're already at Revelation 21. Verse 9, John said, here came unto me one of the seven angels. See, only the bride of Christ can take you there, show you that kind of a thing, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show ye the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit. Tell you what, you get a vision of that, you best be in the spirit because you ain't going to see it otherwise. Amen? Amen. 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 And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. That's the high place. That's it. It only comes one way. brothers and sisters. Fully purposed. That heart, praise God. Just like these two kings. They shared a grace that was so unique, but it's the requirement of the bride of Christ because it desires all the perfect and complete will of God. Amen? That's what he wants. It's not, and I think it was so sweet, those four kings that did good, they all did that which was right in the sight of God. And I'm not trying to not do what's right in the sight of God. That's not what my life is bent on. But the benchmark was the heart. The benchmark was always the heart. And I thank the Lord. That heart, as the benchmark says, was the heart of King David. That's the truth. But isn't that beautiful? The Lord said, I prepared me a man. I've chosen me a man. I formed me a man. I made me a man. I willed and purposed me a man. Before I set a star in heaven, I chose that man. Huh? And that's you. Just believe him. Thank him. Rejoice. Just give him the glory. Praise his name. Let's stand, be dismissed.